AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Just wrapped up. It is Monday, September 15th. So, you know, we're here looking back, game week four, looking forward to game week five. I'll just say it right off the bat. Phil brought it up right before this. Great call out. UCL this week, it starts tomorrow. That is match day one. So, obviously, you know, it's not going to apply for every FPL asset, but there are certain ones you may want to be paying attention because this is now the start of rotations. You know, someone I think about is someone I have, right? Gakpo. Liverpool's going to play a lot of games. Gakpo's played 90 minutes in all four, I think. I'm afraid he could be someone that might see his minutes drop a little, but just, you know, I don't know. Other players, Tottenham, remember they're in the UCL. A lot of people have their defenders.
So Cole Palmer, too. He just came back from injury.
There's a lot of players, so just keep your eyes open. It's hard in this sport, this fantasy sport, unfortunately, because you don't get a lot of warning on those things like you do in other sports. You don't get a lot of updates on who's going to play and who's not.
So. And to those who support and believe that the EPL is the strongest league in the world, this is the first time there's six English teams in the UCL. Liverpool, Arsenal, United, City, Chelsea, Newcastle, and Tottenham.
So, United, relax.
Yeah, I know.
Easy, Phil.
So six teams, so a few more teams than normal to Sean's point to keep track of in terms of players. But yeah, kind of cool to see six teams in the Champions League.
Yeah, I think, wasn't it Germany last year who had six, if I'm correct on that? They had at least five. I don't know why I thought they were the first team to get, like, that extra team from this new UCL format.
I think they had five.
Five. I think five's always been the record. Spain's had five.
Okay.
The EPL's had five, but this was the first time it's six because of the strong performance league, and then Tottenham won the Europa League, so they got the two extra invites.
Yep, that makes sense. All right, so normal episode today, typical, right? We're going to go through our mini league, a little review. We're going to go over the major transfers, some topics, and then we're going to do our player picks. Before we do that, guys, how was your weekend? I didn't ask yet. Phil, you start.
I'm good. Yeah, love it. Good weekend. Won't complain.
Dave, you okay?
No, all my sports teams are bad.
Yeah.
Mediocre FPL week. Man United sucks again.
Yeah.
Steelers suck.
Yeah.
All my teams suck.
Yeah, Steelers too, and they do suck.
Just pure sadness for 48 hours.
We'll get it back, though. Don't worry. We'll get it back. We'll get it back next weekend. Everything will go right.
Did you guys know that out of every single team that's been in the Premier League and still is since Amorim has joined United?
Is that 2.5 years ago? Right.
No, it's like a year and a half, right? No, it's like basically a year, because he took over early last season.
Oh, so 47, for 10. Yeah, 47 games.
Okay.
United's in last of the 17 teams.
Oh, yeah, I knew where you were going with that.
Okay. Well,
tough going for the Red Devils, but hopefully they turn it around.
Amazing segue, though. Right into the first topic of the day. Actually,
Yeah. No, no. Okay, before we even jump to that, keep that thought in mind. Keep the United thought in mind. Before we do that, Phil, can you go over our mini-league review? I want to get that out of the way first.
Yes, 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 yes. And I know why you want me to go through it, but...
Maybe.
Are you going to pull it up?
I can do that for you.
Thank you. But yeah. While you do that, a big round of applause for our very own Fireside Sean. He went with the wild card and ended up with 94...
He doesn't get out much. You gotta let him.
Party for him. But yeah, 94 points.
Still going.
No, I turned it off. It's fine. I turned it off. Relax.
94 points in the top 100K for the game week. I mean, you pretty much nailed every single player. Obviously, a few opportunities here and there, but just a great job. And that did take him to number one of our league. He's in first, Dave's in second. I'm still in fifth, and I think the tables kind of stayed the same because those who have Salah got lucky again and got a few points, and those who have Haaland continue to rise. So not much to it, but Sean has a table up there. We'll show it to you.
I'm on the team now.
So. You're on your team, so yeah.
But I showed the table.
No, if you want to just talk through your team a bit, any ups and downs from it?
I'll just do it quickly. So... First of all, I wild carded, which you mentioned, but
yeah.
A lot of the players I have, it's a lot of the guys that we talk about on this show. That's not even me trying to pump us up as a group, but like the majority of guys on this team were talked about on this show over the last 4 weeks. These guys we really liked. Like as an example, Van de Ven's been Phil's guy the entire time. And look at him go. I've had Vicario since week one. Gay, he continues to be good. Dave's been hyping up Semenyo since the start of the season. He's on fire. We all said Haaland over Salah from before the season even started. That continues to be the better pick. I don't care that Salah's had a return in all four games because for me right now, it's a lot of smoke and mirrors.
We'll get into that.
It's a lot of smoke and mirrors. I had a solid week. It goes back to the fact that you can get... It was a great week for matchups, but like you can get... fantastic defenders all for 4.5 million and that's kind of the strategy I went with. I played four defenders, so you know, puts me up at 127,000, right in that range in the world ranking. So
very nice.
Hopefully
very nice.
You know, all three of us will continue to climb. We've been climbing the last 2 weeks, so yeah, we'll keep going.
I think the lessons there is that when we put out a video that's called like wild card draft or this is our chip strategy, just click on it.
Check it out.
Just listen to what King Sean has to say, and you might end up having a great game week, too.
Check it out. Listen, the reason that we're the reason we're talking ourselves up, we get that, but that's what we're going to do. Listen, the little difference we have versus the other content creators that do this by themselves is there are three of us, which means we're going to come with more people, and we're going to be a little harsher on the people that we don't all agree on. If you know, that gives you a little more of... an outlook on what these guys might do. You're not getting just one guy saying this is going to work. We may shut each other down. I think it's just a different dynamic. So
Listen,
if you like what we do, let us know. We're going to try and keep doing it. So that's that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good shit, man.
All right. I think I full screened back up. Yes, I did. I always worry that doesn't work. But
you're getting good at that, though.
It's literally two buttons, but I worry it's not working because I can't see it, but it works every time.
He's so skilled.
Also, Dave's top 1 million, too, so I want to hype him up a bit, too.
What am I, like 600K?
Yeah.
Dave was about 200K last week.
Pretty darn good.
We're so early in the season that 1 week really moves you a couple hundred thousand positions still, so
we'll
start to even out as the weeks go on.
Yeah.
So now...
Do we need to talk about the elephant in the room?
Is that me? So
what's that?
It's Mo Salah.
Yeah, we can start with Mo Salah. But
let's
then
get the anger out.
Then I'm getting to the topic. So start with Mo Salah, though, because I think that is the topic. That should be the topic of everything, because I'm just so tired of it. We're about to get angry.
It's insane. Sickening. It's insane. And, like, the part of the reason... Most of the reason we're mad about this is that all three of us, like you said, were on Haaland over Salah in that debate preseason. Pretty much everything we said has come true, and yet he still does this crap where he is not invisible, but he's hasn't been heavily involved in any of their games so far. and then gets three returns in, you know, the most bogus of ways at the end of these games to just save all the people out there, all the solid truthers, who then can go on Twitter and be like, oh, he's inevitable. This is why you draft him. No, it isn't.
He's sixth on Liverpool in shots. Shots don't mean everything. He is sixth on his own team.
What does he have, four shots total?
He has five shots. Five shots. He's got three on net, but like, he's not even the best on his team right now. And I get it. Inevitable. He gets PKs.
People are like, oh, this is why you draft him. You don't draft the most expensive guy in FPL to luck out and get saved in stoppage time return. You draft him to be the best player in fantasy. And if he's not that, he's not, I mean, not going to say he's not worth it, but
he needs, like, to be at least top five.
We're like, I said this before this, like, all of his returns have come with like literally the last kick of the ball of the game, or like, or effectively the last kick of the ball. We're like less than a minute of real game time away from him having four straight blanks to start the year. And like, everyone's heads exploding.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, some of the bigger content creators I've seen are acknowledging the fact that they're getting lucky. Yeah. It's the smaller people that are like, oh, this is why you pick. It's like, no, you don't. But
we're just bitter.
At the same time, maybe it's okay. Like, the way I look at it is, it might be okay, because the longer he continues to do this, the more people are going to be like, he'll be fine. He'll turn it around. Continue to hold him. Leave him on to us. Stay on Salah as long as you want, because had he had a two blanks in a row, everyone may have been on Salah last week, and they would have got what we got, right?
Holland.
Everyone may have already moved to Holland. Like, yeah. Stay on Salah as long as you can. That's fine. I'm okay with it.
Yeah. I'll just add that a lot of FPL, 95% of FPL, is luck.
Yes.
This is the pure definition of luck.
Yes.
Even if he wasn't heavily involved in those games, but he was scoring a PK or a tap-in or, you know, his first shot, one goal, you're like, okay, he still is Mohamed Salah. He is going to play 90 minutes. He is going to get those chances for Liverpool, those PKs. I would understand that if then you come out saying, well, that's why you draft him, because he's Salah and he plays on one of the best teams in the league. But him getting the goals in stoppage time and the return in stoppage time, that is where it's 100% luck. And I don't know if there's a single player that's scored or assisted like this in 3 out of 4 games in overtime. Like, I was trying to Google it. I couldn't find anything conclusive. This is an anomaly. This is black magic. And I don't care what anyone says. There's no
Egyptian magic.
There's no good managing when you're keeping Salah, because this is what he does. No. Scoring in stoppage time or getting an assist in stoppage time 3 out of 4 games is not normal.
So the moral of the story is, we were right. Trust Haaland.
And you were...
He's the man.
I've been waiting for that sound for a couple weeks now.
He's the man.
The boy king.
He's the man. But if you aren't Salah, stay on him.
Yeah.
Haaland, you don't really want him, so we'll hold him. All right.
Need to get that out.
Yeah, that's...
I still got more in there, but you know.
We're gonna move. No, I kind of want Dave to keep going.
No. We're going to move on for now. We save a little bit for next week. We don't want to scare everyone away.
Next week when Salah scores again in the 94th minute.
I'm sure 80% of people watching us probably have them. They're like, screw you guys.
But no, so, listen. That's fine. If they say, hey, I'm getting lucky, I don't care. Good for you. I'm happy that it's working out. But if you're like doubling down on being a good manager because you have Salah, that's where I have a problem with you. But don't forget to like and subscribe.
Leave a comment. Tell us why we are so wrong about this one. We would love to hear it.
I'm a very process person in fantasy sports and FPL, like, for better or for worse. And I think if you started the season with Salah instead of Haaland, like, in that debate who to spend all the money on, like, I don't think that was bad process. He's most Salah. No. And he's still going to have a great year. But I do think now you can say, like, it is a little bit of bad process to keep having him, because, like, not only is, like, the eye test if you watch them play, like, he's not super involved.
Not right now, no.
But the data also backs that up. And, like, in the past, like, he's the kind of guy that can turn one or two opportunities into returns and do it on a regular basis, but he always had the great underlying numbers to show you, like, he's going to keep on doing this. They're not good so far, the underlying stats. But anyway, we could probably do 40 minutes on just this topic. But
we really could. The final piece of that is, people are to give credit, people are probably holding him because it's Liverpool, and just like that, next week they could look like they should look. So I think that's why people are holding on to him. They still have all the talent. So let's see what happens. I'm sure we'll be back on this topic again in the next.
He'll probably have 2 goals against Everton this week and we'll look stupid, but whatever.
So, quickly, I just want to rip through a couple topics very quickly.
It's time for topics and transfers.
First, Palmer came back. He did score a goal. And Frimpong came back late in that Liverpool game. He hit the post. So
got Palmer, the assist.
Palmer, I'm not really going to talk about. He's talented. I mean, I'm not going to ask a question about him because if you have him on your team, put him back in. If you don't have him, I mean, sure, go get him. He's good. You know, he will get points here. So I'm not going to talk about him. Frimpong, though, quickly, are you ready to go back and get him yet? Is he even worth? Are you gonna? How many weeks do you give it? How many weeks of seeing him play consistently until you're like, okay, maybe now I want him again? You specifically feel because you were in to start the year.
I just think over the last few game weeks, right now, it's the cheaper defenders is kind of the staple. I think for a back line, I'm not going to spend the extra 1.5 million on Frimpong when he is a injury prone. Liverpool has a lot of different ways of playing. There's going to be rotations with Champions League. I just don't think it's worth it this year with how many good options there are for 4.5 million. So I'm not going back to him.
Yeah, I mean, the reason to pay up for him was the potential for the attacking returns. So how I answer your question is how many weeks, however many number of weeks it takes for Liverpool to look like how we expect. But if you're going to take a Liverpool defender, just take Van Dijk for the same price, and he gets like DEFCON, 3 out of 4 weeks? Yeah. So,
all right, that's fair. One other player I wanted to mention is Donnarumma. We knew he was going to come into City and be the automatic starter. He was that. He got a shutout. He looked good.
Made a couple really nice saves.
But he is expensive, and we are, all three of us are believers in cheap goalies. That's what we kind of preach here. But he is expensive. Does this, though, forget about Donnarumma, does this now interest you again in the City defensive assets? Because we've been off them for a couple weeks, mainly because City's given up the third most shots on target this season. But with that shutout, it's only 4 goals against. So they looked solid, but they are, they are giving up a lot of shots. Anyone there? I know Ryan was out. I know Gvardiol was out, but these guys are coming back. Anyone interesting now with a new goalie?
Not yet.
No.
They played Man United, and we stink. Donnarumma, yes. After this Arsenal game, yes, because their next four fixtures are really good, and he's only 2% owned. He's 5.5 million, so it's, you know, it's a differential pick if you have some extra cash.
Sure.
But yeah, the defenders. Shout out play. The defenders, I need to see a little bit more before I'm ready. You know, Ait Nouri's not even playing. Right. So yeah, he'd be the only like defensive one.
Right.
That I'd be interested in anytime soon.
Fully agree.
All right. So last topic I want to talk about, and this could be another one we could go on for an hour. I don't want it to be that.
Sign me up.
Very quickly. Nothing is confirmed yet, but reports are Amorim. We've mentioned him. He is feeling a little bit of the heat right now. You know, obviously United finished 16th last season. I think that was their worst finish ever. Correct me if I'm wrong, Dave.
They got relegated before a long time ago, but yeah, basically.
Essentially, okay. Phil just mentioned since he's been there, they are the worst team in the EPL. I don't want to speculate if he's staying or going. That's not what we do here. What I want to know is, in a hypothetical world, he goes, doesn't matter who the new manager is, does that give Bruno and Mbeumo a bump in your mind? If he goes and anyone else comes in to coach them right now.
Yeah.
Yes. Do you don't even care who it is? You think
don't
anyone,
care.
You think a new leadership is what this team needs to turn it around quickly?
I mean, it's the same conversation over and over with United since Ferguson left, but like any manager that doesn't play this formation that requires the super specific players, like, I mean, I think Bruno and Mbeumo will both be fine, but yeah, I've been backing him, and I'm sliding off that train because, you know, I was hopeful after the Arsenal game because I thought they played really well and looked way better than last year.
Mm-hmm, they did.
But then literally all four of the games they've played have just looked like last year again. And so I think I'll give him a few more games, but I think if we get to like the 7-8 game mark and it still looks the same, that he's got to go.
Got to go. All right.
Yeah.
I'll leave that one. I'll leave that answer with Dave. We'll let Dave have that.
I'll just drop this topic because
nothing to
that. I was just curious because it sounds like, you know, he's got maybe a couple weeks left. So
Ratcliffe did say he expects them to qualify for Europe And
yeah, it's
if
coming.
It appears that's not going to happen, he's going
to
do
it. It might be coming quickly, so it's something to think about. Those are the topics, though. Nothing crazy. So over to transfers, Dave. Who's coming in? Who's coming out going into game week 5?
Yeah, so familiar sight at the top of the transfer ins is Antoine Semenyo. It's like every week.
I was so wrong. I'm sorry.
I mean, I would love him. I don't even have him on my team. But yeah, he's the number one again by like more than double the amount of transfers of anyone else. And then Mickey Van de Ven, another guy that we've talked about extensively, Mark Gahey. So three guys that we all love. I'm the only idiot that doesn't have the guy he loves on his own team.
Those are probably three of our most... You know, those are the three picks that we all back the most, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Each one of us individually, one of those guys. So.
Cole Palmer's on here because he scored and he's back. João Pedro and Haaland both continue to be on this list. Sure. No surprise there. Nope. Moise Caicedo is on here. And talked about him in the preseason because he was a big DEFCON guy last year. He's continued that this year. He's got a couple of goals, including that rocket he scored this past game.
It's fine.
Hell of a shot.
People can have him because I think it's just another Grealish, so it's fine. He's not going to keep doing it. He's never done that in his career.
He's not a goal scorer. People got him for the DEFCON, which do think he'll keep getting.
Yeah, it's fine. He's cheap, and if that's why you're doing it, just don't get him because you think he's going to start scoring goals on a regular basis. That's not his game.
If he averages 4 to 5 points per game week at 5.5 million, that's
fair.
A steal.
He's worth
absolutely.
That's awesome.
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. I just hope it's not because people think he's going to hit bangers every single week.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a pretty sick goal.
It was sick.
No, anyway, the last guy on the transfer ins is Nick Woltemade. Scored a nice goal for Newcastle. Needs center forwards.
Yes, he does.
It'll be interesting to see how they manage that situation with both him and Wiese because Wiese was unavailable for this game. So. Mm-hmm. Who knows if that becomes a headache or not of which one of them starts, but he looked pretty good in his first game.
It's a risky pick to put him in now, but you might luck out if Wiese doesn't play next week. I'm not super risk averse right now with, you know, where I am ranking wise. I don't really want to go crazy with anything right now.
And he's huge.
He's a big dude.
He's also massive. Enormous.
He's like a German Peter Crouch.
He's like a grungy Peter Crouch.
I don't even know if he is German. I'm assuming he is, but
I think so.
And he played in Germany, which doesn't make him German, but the name kind of sounds fairly German to me. Woltemade, is what it is.
I think it's Woltemade. Is he German? Yeah, he's German.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Anyway, that's the ins. The outs, Nori, Aina are on here. They were both hurt. Florian Wirtz is on here, which is interesting to me because I...
Come back.
I know
he'll take you back.
He kind of blanked again. I thought he looked a little bit better in this game.
Yeah.
Burnley, you know, the way they played, it was always going to be tough to break through that. Hugo Ekitike is on here, which makes sense because Alexander Isak. He also has kind of fallen off after that hot start.
Yeah.
And then Sean, two Tottenham guys on here. Richarlison, who...
Of course, absolutely.
Didn't start this game.
He played like 17 minutes.
They played Mathys Tel at center forward, which makes total sense.
This is what Tottenham does. That's
and Mohamed Kudus, who everybody loves, and hasn't looked that great lately.
Nope.
So, yeah, some interesting ones there. Spurs look great, but none of their attacking options feel that attractive right now.
Shall we start there? It's almost like you are teeing me up to start that one off.
Yeah.
That's all we got for the transfers?
That's it.
Before I get going? All right, well... Let's just do it then. Straight into the player pick.
Player picks of the week.
Dave alluded to it. I want to start with Kudus. He is now 31% owned. 6.6 million, so he is a cheap option in the midfield. I am an owner. You just saw my team. I am frustrated. Tottenham have one of the best schedules in the EPL all the way through game week 11. You know, that's why we've been pushing everyone to have a Tottenham defender. We've been saying it for 2-3 weeks. You have to have one of them. Their schedule is just too good. But offensively, like, it's impossible to know. And I think it was similar last year. Of course, Tottenham was a worse team at the time, so you didn't want them anyways. But it's just too hard to know what they're going to do on offense right now. Richarlison's minutes went from like 90-90 and then like 55 and 17. They're probably not exactly right, but it's in that range.
Yeah.
you know, Solanke's hurt. They brought in Kulamani. He didn't play. Mathis Tell gets his first start, I think, of the season, maybe second. In the midfield, it's like literally Kudus and Sarr are the only two playing full minutes for the most part. Like the point leaders on the team are currently Romero, Van de Ven, and Porro. Those are the three points leaders on Tottenham.
And Spence is not
Vicario, yes, the goalie. Yeah. Spence is not far behind. He has 18. I think most of the offensive assets have 19, so he's like 1 point behind them. Here's my problem, right? And then I'll let you guys go because I know I'm talking a lot. But obviously, he's everyone's top choice. To me, I'm concerned because I said it before the show. He reminds me of Semenyo from last year, where it's like, this guy has a lot of potential. He should be doing well. The schedule is good. So we all held Semenyo last year waiting for what he's doing this year.
Mm-hmm.
Difference, Semenyo's underlying stats last year were so good. Expected goals, expected assists were very high. Kudus right now, expected assists per game is 0.14. That's right around 50th amongst midfielders. And his expected goals is 0.18. That's 35th amongst midfielders. Yeah. It's horrible, right? Like, he's not even... Like, I look at that, and he's outpacing his XFPL, by the way. With those numbers, he's actually outpacing his... Like, I'm going to move off him. I'm telling you that now. Like, my next transfer will be him. I'll talk about some players later who I'm interested in. I'm moving off him. And if you thought Sarr was a better option, his underlying numbers are 0.09 expected assists and 0.04 expected goals. So he's not any better. Yeah. I'll let you guys talk now. I'm a little frustrated because he should be doing better and he's just not. And it's annoying me.
You're frustrated. I can't tell. You're so
frustrated. This is a frustrating day.
Yeah, I think eventually Kudus will come good because I think he's a really good player. But yeah, like, he doesn't have the underlying numbers that Semenyo had. If he did, I would tell you to stick with him. But I don't have any issue with moving off of him, even given the schedule they have coming up, which is really good.
That's why it's annoying, because there's no one I can get on the team with the best schedule as an offensive asset right now. And that's what everyone obviously wants.
I mean,
but you shouldn't force it. Don't force it because of the schedule.
No. I mean, Aston Villa have a great schedule.
Get out of here. When they score one goal this season,
hey,
maybe I'll think about
it. I'm pretty sure Watkins is going to score this weekend.
Yeah, they have zero goals, guys.
Totally. Morgan Rodgers, too.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point, they have to score. They can't be the first
score. That's just not true. They don't have to.
There's never been a team to score three overtime goals. There hasn't been a team to score zero goals.
Until 2025.
There's never been a team.
And now there will be in 2025.
Well, I hope I'm part of that history.
That'd be cool.
I hope I keep Watkins until 2026 and they haven't scored.
He ends the year with zero goals.
No, I think Kudus maybe fits in the same bucket of like Grealish, or if you had Sarr for Crystal Palace. I feel like
Grealish,
it's a guy, the classic player that looks really good when you're watching them, maybe doesn't have the underlying numbers, and it's how can you time them having them on your team whenever they go through that stretch of like getting a few returns. So I think it's going to be high risk, high reward right now for a player like him, especially in Frank's system. I think when we talked about Mbeumo last year, he really outperformed his underlying stats, if I remember correctly. I don't know if someone can look at
Mbeumo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, Frank's system isn't designed to, I don't think, to score a lot of goals every game.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be a very solid defensive team and they're going to be strong up top, but I don't think Kudus is someone who's going to have 3-4 chances a game. So again, it's timing when he's in form, when Tottenham is playing a little better offensively, but I don't think right now, maybe, and Dave, I don't know if you want to touch on it, maybe Xavi Simons, but I don't think there's really any player that you can confidently go in a game week being like, he's going to get a chance. It's kind of from defenders to attackers. Someone's going to score, but you just don't know who.
Yeah. No, yeah, I like Xavi Simons. I was pumped when they got him. I was worried about his minutes, you know, right away, but he started. I thought he played pretty well, got an assist. It looks like he's going to be pretty involved in set pieces too, which is nice. So, like, I have Brennan Johnson, which I thought was going to be great.
Oof.
It's not.
No,
heads up out there. I'm probably going to go to Xavi Simons this week because
double down.
One, I'm planning on wildcarding in game week 6. So, like, really, it's a short term play, or game week 7. And there's just no, I have a little money in the bank, but there's just no midfielders that are like over 7 million that I want right now that aren't already on my team.
Midfielders, there's not a lot of good mids right now.
But if you are going to use an attacking asset from Spurs, he's probably the one I would take a swing on at the moment. I think the goals are going to come. Like they're a good team. They're playing well. They have a good schedule.
They're scoring. It's just you don't know who's
going to do it. It's just a matter of,
you just have no idea who's going to do it.
Yeah. Use the defenders, use the goalie, and take a swing on Xavi Simons if you're feeling a little risky like me.
Before we send it to another player, I just got to say, because I woke up with anger in my heart, I think, today. I just want to make all the points. Jack Grealish, what did we say last week about 25 times if you watch the episode?
We said,
if you're getting Jack Grealish because you think he's going to get 2 assists every game, he's absolutely not. And specifically, we said, do not be surprised when he blanks 2 games in a row. He just blanked, and guess who he gets next game?
Liverpool.
He gets the best team in the EPL, them and Arsenal, but one of the best defenses in the EPL, and he's probably going to blank again. And why did we say that? We didn't say that because we hate Grealish, we hate Everton. We all said Grealish is most likely going to be a good player over the course of the season. But they had 5 goals on 8 shots, Everton did. That's a 68% goal rate. That is outrageous. You know, teams like Arsenal and City are lucky to get between 40 and 50% in that category to end the year. So just numbers-wise, it was going to come down. But the reason I bring it up, I don't want to just be rude the whole time. Ow. I don't want to be rude the whole time, but now's the time not to double down and transfer him out. Don't play him this week. Put him on your bench, but do not waste a transfer on getting him out now. Just play him after next week. He'll be fine going forward.
I get West Ham in game week 6.
He's going to get points, so don't like, oh, I got him and he stunk. Now I'm going to move off him and go get, like, I don't know, Semenyo or someone. Like, that's fine. That's a good switch, but point is, like, don't just don't go crazy with it. Just leave him on your team.
I think these guys, you get them, you bring them in. There's 2 ways to go about it. You somehow time it perfectly, and you get Grealish when he gets the 2 assists.
Yeah.
Then you get Kudus when he gets the 2 assists, right, and you time it perfectly. And if you do that, kudos to you. You're probably... No pun intended. You're in the top 100. The other thing is you pick them up because they're a cheaper player that is getting good minutes, can get a chance of a return, but it opens the bank to get other players. You just have to be at peace with getting 2-3 blanks in a row, and then you enjoy when he gets the return, and then you're fine, or you rotate him out. So
he did play well against Villa. They should have scored a couple of times.
That's my point. He looked good. They looked good. But statistics don't lie. Math doesn't lie. They were bound to have a game where they had the chances, but they weren't going to put the ball in the back of the net. That's just how it works. Now they're at a 50. Yep. They're 5 goals on 10 shots now, 50%. Still too high for a team like them, but that is much closer to where they're going to end the season, right? So just, it's numbers, right? Like, it was bound to happen. So that's all I wanted to say. I wanted to say, listen to us because we're super freaking smart. But no, I really wanted to say, don't freak out. Put him on your bench this week and put him back in your lineup next week. He's going to be okay over the course of the season.
And just go to that 5-2-3 formation that people are rocking. 5 in the back, 2 in the middle, 3 up top.
I had 4 in the back this week. I went for it.
Yeah. No, I know.
That's and I thought about putting Gundamson in, and he had 6 up until that own goal in like the 90th minute.
Look, I mean, that was
lucky I didn't put him in. But
that was the coolest own goal ever.
That was a rip, man. It was a rip.
Right off of his face from like 12 yards out.
It was a rip.
He should get something for that.
Honestly. All right, Dave. or Phil, whoever wants
you want it,
to.
Phil? You want it?
I'll do one quick one and then pass it to you. Evan Nilsson, I think we haven't talked about him in a week or two.
Had him all season,
Dave was
baby.
Really high on him. I think there's not that many 7 million guys. I think now Woltemade is 7 million, but at that price point, I think he's very underrated right now. He's the main forward of a very strong team who has a good schedule. I just think he's a fun guy to have because, again, cheaper price, but he's starting to heat up a bit, and I think he's flying on the radar. He's 2.7% owned.
There's no one there to take
his spot. I'm going
to
ride with him because I watched the Brighton game, and he's involved. I mean, he created the penalty.
Yep.
I think the goals are going to come. The underlying numbers aren't anything to write home about. But, again, he's got no competition for minutes. Nope.
He's playing 80-plus minutes every single game.
Yep. Yeah, I'm going to stick with him. But,
schedule's great. So,
well, they get Newcastle, but then they get Leeds and Fulham, so that's good.
Until Isak is a full-time starter at Liverpool, I'm not moving off Evan Nielsen.
Nope.
That is the plan. That was our original plan.
Love that,
Sean. Easy switch with the money I have. That's the plan. So that's what I'm doing.
Same.
It makes me feel all warm and fuzzy, Sean, so thanks.
Yeah. Semenyo and Evan Nielsen, I'm really talking you up today.
I know.
Go ahead, Dave.
I just want to mention one guy. We were all on Ismail Assar. Well, not all of us, but he was playing really well. And one of his replacements, Jeremy Pino, who they just bought in January, started this week. Had two big chances. He probably should have scored two goals. Really skilled player. Was heavily involved in his first game, like I said. I'm interested in him, especially if you are... I know some people are planning on free hitting or wild carding this week because it's kind of a weird week for fixtures. They get West Ham. So I really like whoever... Not whoever, but he's playing one of those two number 10 roles for Crystal Palace. So if you're free hitting, he's a guy I really like, and he's obviously not heavily owned.
No.
So someone to keep an eye on until Sar comes back, which might be in a couple weeks, but you do have a chance to use him this week, especially if you're free hitting.
Yeah, I liked it as a sneaky pick. The only pushback I have personally I've said it, I think, last week, but Crystal Palace is like the third lowest team in possession. I think they average like 42% possession. So like offensively, they're essentially Nottingham Forest of last year. So don't get frustrated if you have Mateta, if you have, you know, any Sar, anyone else. Like, you're probably going to watch a game where they get dominated possession-wise and hope that they get counterattacks. Like, that's just what you're kind of depending on with them. So just be aware when you get those guys, that's kind of the game plan you're going to have to rely on. It's counterattacks for a goal.
I mean, they could have had three or four goals. Yeah. Mateta had a couple golden chances too, but yeah, no, your point is good.
Yeah, they're still a good team. Like, I'm still interested in their players. It's just going to be that kind of waiting and watching for, like, you know, you're not going to get to watch them get like 15 shots a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's all.
Yeah. But those are my two: Xavi Simons, Jeremy Pino.
Anyone else from you, Phil? Cause I have a guy if you're done.
Yeah. I think, it's important to talk about, Florian Wirtz and Bruno Fernandes. Yes. There's probably quite a few managers out there like myself. And I think Dave,
I have them.
Do you have both?
I have both.
No,
I have both.
Them.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm talking about having both because FPL wise, they feel like the same player right now. Obviously, Bruno had that one PK and good game, but you're talking about two more premium price players that kind of aren't clicking FPL wise yet. And I think, I hope a Liverpool fan watches this and can give us a breakdown maybe in the comments. But I think when you watch Wirtz, I think he's looking better and better. He runs all over the field. He's going to start getting in that Premier League shape, and he's going to be great for them. I just don't know. Let me know your thoughts, guys, if he's ever going to translate into an FPL asset at 8.5 million or even, you know, yeah, I guess he's 8.4 now. He always feels like the guy that's giving the pass to the guy who's going to give the pass for someone else to
pass before the pass.
Pass before the pass. He's that link up guy.
Yep.
So I just don't know if he's going to be worth it. And for those who have him and Bruno Fernandes, even though Bruno Fernandes has had a slower start, I just feel like he's been an inch away from getting a return every single game week. And we would be talking about the best midfield asset, maybe ahead of Salah. You know, missed PK, Casemiro. He should have gotten assist to Casemiro, the own goal against Burnley. That didn't count for him. Like, he's so close. And again, he's that center of the United attack. He's on set pieces, on PKs. I feel like he just feels like a much better FPL asset than Wirtz. So if you're someone like me, I would recommend dropping Wirtz at least for the time being as he figures out his role in Liverpool and sticking with Bruno Fernandes. But I don't know. What do you guys think?
Can I back you up on that?
Yeah, sure.
Yes. So Bruno's dropped 1.5%. ownership already since that last game. Palmer's coming back, so I wouldn't be surprised if it keeps going.
Agreed.
But let me give you just some underlying numbers, right? Because we love underlying numbers here on Bruno. He's still top 15 in expected assists, 0.89 per game. Top 4 in expected goals, 1.91. He has the most attempted assists with 14 of any player in FPL right now. He has 47 DEFCON in 4 games. He's almost averaging 12 per game. If you get 12 every single game, you get the points, right? So he's right on the cusp of doing that. I didn't look, but I'm sure he's one of the few players that is doing something like that right now. Phil said it. He missed a PK, hits that PK. We're talking about him as one of the top players in FBL right now. You know, Man U is kind of a circus, but I think the point is, like, try not to let that get you down, because outside of this Liverpool match they have in week 8, they have pretty good matchups all the way through game week 16. So I think be patient. If you want to bench him for a little bit, bench him. I don't think he's worth moving off because his underlying stats still have him as a top 5 midfielder and a top 10 FPL player right now. So yeah. Back you up, Phil. It's relax, everyone. He looked like this last year because his team struggled. He ended the season
He did start slow last year.
And he ended the season as one of the top players because he's just that good. So just relax.
I have nothing to add. That was perfect.
all right. So we're almost out of time. So I'll add one player that I like that you may be surprised about. I'm talking kind of replacements here. If I mentioned Kudus, I want to move off him. So replacements, guys like Lucas Paqueta, who I kind of like, 4% owned, but I don't really like West Ham. So he has a lot of good underlying numbers, but I just don't trust West Ham to do much with the chances they have. So option, if you're interested in Lucas Paqueta, Tavernier, another good option, decent underlying numbers. Bournemouth is a better team, so I also like him. But there's one guy that I like more than them. And frankly, Tavernier, people may say he's the better option. I don't care. I want this guy more because for me, he's passing the eye test. And that is Szoboszlai. 6.5 million, so it's a perfect switch. 3.4% owned. Obviously, we talked about it. Liverpool has struggled. They don't look good. But we all know, just like that, it could flip around. Like, it, 1 week, it could flip around. I have a weird feeling like Everton at home might be the game that they just blow up. I don't know. It's just a feeling I have. Like, it feels like it has to happen here soon. They're just too good.
Yeah.
Or they have too much talent, I should say. And they have a good coach. Like, the manager's the same. Like, we know they have a plan. He's played the most minutes of any asset on that team. He's played more minutes than Salah. One more minute than Salah has. I think he's played four straight 90s.
Yep.
Four straight 90s. He has not come off the field yet. I think it's a top-tier offense. He has 10 shots. That's the most shots on that team. Oh, no, only Gakpo has 11, who I also love. But Gakpo's 11. Szoboszlai has 10. The issue is the moment is he only has 3 on net, so it's not a great on-target percentage. But when you watch him, like, watch him with the eye test. The one time this shot gets on net, it's a freaking rocket. Like, it's going to be impossible to save some of these shots. He also took a free kick in the last game. After scoring that free kick goal, he now appears to have kind of, like, last say, which is great for now, right? He seems like he can tell Salah, listen, I'm taking this one. So even another little added asset there. And again, the underlying XG, XA, not overwhelming. But again, for me, it's the eye test.
Yeah.
I like him for the eye test. I love this match against Everton. I'm going to switch him Kudus to Szoboszlai. I'm not telling you to keep Szoboszlai for the next 10 weeks. But I think this game, I like him. And I just he's just doing everything for them. Dave, you said it. He's like, he's the best midfielder they have right now.
I think so.
And I just, I want it.
He had another rocket in this game that he could have scored against some goal. Dubravka made a really great
every shot he takes. He had one that also whizzed past the right post on his left foot, and you just ripped it.
Like the Valverde of Liverpool right now. Just, so he's everywhere and does everything.
That's my favorite. If anyone out there is listening, that's my favorite Kudu replacement this week.
Two other quick notes on him before we wrap up.
Yeah.
He's had at least 9 DEFCON points in every game, 9, 14, 9, 11. The other thing I wanted to say, which is slightly cold water, is he's been playing right back. And now that Frimpong is back, interested to see what they do with their midfield rotation, because not all three of him, McAllister and Gravenberch, were playing at first because they have Wurtz, Gakpo, and Salah. So just something to keep an eye on with him. But
I think he's better than those two. But yeah.
And I do like him in this game.
Yeah,
I'd watch the UCL game.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because I think whoever in that midfield plays the 90 minutes or close to 90 minutes might rest.
Ain't going to get 90.
Yeah, so just keep an eye out. But if not, yeah, I think that's a spot-on guy to look at. So good shout, Shawnee.
One of my favorite players to watch, period.
Cool. And him and Ronaldo are boys. So.
They are boys. He's gonna get Ronaldo's jersey.
Yeah, so I mean,
can't have an episode without a Ronaldo shout. Yeah, you know true. That.
Gotta have it.
If you watched all the way, you're just rewarded. So
yeah,
honestly, you're freaking welcome. All right, that was it. That's all we got this week. We will be back next week. Same time, same place. Looking back at game week 5, looking forward to game week 6. We'll probably talk a little bit about UCL, in particular the EPL teams, but I'm sure we'll mention Madrid. We'll probably mention Leverkusen. So we'll talk about that a little bit. And no chip strategies coming up just yet. I think we'll probably have another wild card and or free hit, kind of a similar idea. We'll probably have one of those in about, say, 2 weeks. We may pop one of those. I think wild cards are just so relevant right now.
Game week 7 is a fun one to
target.
Game
week 7, yeah. So keep an eye out because, listen, the last wild card, if you followed it, look at my team, 91 points. Pretty good. Pretty good.
They've been working.
So, yeah. So keep an eye out for that. If you're watching us on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe. We really appreciate it. We love hearing from everybody. Check us out on all our socials, Instagram, TikTok, X. You listen to us anywhere you listen to podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. What's the other one? Apple Radio, right? You can
iTunes.
Check us out there. Yeah, iTunes. LimeWire. You still into that?
Can buy our CD.
Yeah. And with that, see ya.
Hey.
Bye.